right into it. You can come in, Brother Carlton. We're going to get in a prayer, and we're going to get right into the lesson. Praise God. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, that this is the day that you have made. We thank you right now, Lord God, for what you're doing by your Spirit, Lord Jesus. We thank you right now, Lord God, for the impartation that we've been receiving, Lord God. We thank you for the revelation knowledge that's been flowing, Lord God, forth out of our apostle, Lord God, and what we've been learning in this school, Lord God, how to walk in integrity, how to walk in loyalty, how to walk in the spirit of honor, Lord God. We just thank you right now, Lord God, that we're going to take the principles that we have learned and we're going to apply to our lives, that we are going to be vessels of honor and glory. For the kingdom of God, Lord God. And we just give you all the praise and all the glory. And Father God, I just thank you, Lord God, that you're going to show up and show out in this class, Lord God. I yield myself unto you as a yielded vessel meet for the master's use. And I just thank you, Lord God, you know that if you don't show up, I'll fall flat on my face. So my dependency is totally and completely upon you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, we're going to continue. Actually, what I want to do is really kind of review. Because a lot of the things, even though they're very simple principles, but I've seen so many people get tripped up by not knowing how to walk in loyalty, you know, and it all ties in with the spirit of honor, you know, walking honorably. Because if you know, dishonor, when a person walks in dishonor, like I stated last week, that's what is known, I call blatant dishonor, when you just blatantly do something. We talked about Saul by not obeying the prophet Samuel. We talked about that several weeks ago, just blatant. But there are subtleties, as we stated last week. And what I want to do is kind of go over some of those stages of disloyalty, because disloyalty is like the beginning stages of actually walking in dishonor. You know, you start to be disloyal. But most times a person start off very loyal, very trustworthy, on fire. But it's the Bible says that it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. And I've seen so many people get tripped up on little small things, incidental things that really it should be just like water rolling off a duck's back. But because they don't know how to deal with it and let it go, they harbor certain things, and it caused that spirit of disloyalty to start to slowly creep in. And if it, like I stated last week, if it's not checked, if it's not turned, or if it's not release that thing and let it go, it's going to slowly build up, and before you know it, you're going to dishonor yourself, you know, and not. You see, the bottom line is you want to be all that God wants you to be. You want to fulfill the plan and the purpose of God in your life. The devil comes to do three things: to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And whatever he can do to offend you or to offend you and to get you out of the will of God, to get you not walking in all that God wants you to walk in, and he's going to do it, because we've been called to affect people. And I've said that so many times. The anointing of God that is on your life, it is not for you per se, but it's for other people, for you to be a blessing, for you to walk in all the fullness of God. So the devil will try any little trickery he can to get you in a spirit of dishonor. And but he'll do it subtly. You know, sometimes there's, like I said, there's just blatant acts of it. But in other times, there's more subtle, more gradual things that'll take place, you know. But if you know how to recognize it and how to grip it, you know, I must say this, and we'll get into some of the, well, really kind of more of a review. I stated last week there was a time in my life. And I didn't really go into all the detail after I got to thinking about it. My wife and I, we were driving home last Monday, and I, you know, she mentioned some things, and I said, yeah, you're right. I didn't, you know, certain things I didn't completely cover. But I think I talked about how at one time I was in a church service, and the apostle saw me sitting there, and he called me up to the podium, and he asked me, son, is anything all right? Has anybody wronged you? Has anything going, you know, in your life that, and I said, yeah, sure, and I'm okay. But there were some things, there were some challenges that I was going through. And if I didn't deal with those things right and release it and let it go, it could have easily derailed me. You know, because what happens is, you know, if you get rubbed the wrong way, or there's some subtle, you know, offense or you know, backbiting or just little things, and you don't know how to just say, Lord, I forgive the person. Lord, I'm the Bible says, and I think I might have stated earlier, do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Because the more you harbor something, the more it stays with you, the bigger it grows. Like I said, it's the little foxes that fought spawn the vine. You know, but in this particular situation with myself, you know, what I had to do was just release certain things and let certain people go and just release it. And don't hold a resentment. Don't hold any animosity, you know, because when you do, it's going to eat you just like a cancer. You know, cancer slowly builds up in your body. It starts off as one or two little cells, but it'll slowly build up. You know, that's what offense will do. It might just be a little thing, but then the devil starts to scratch it and cause it to you know, just escalate, and you don't want that. Okay, what I'm going to do, like I said, I just want to go over some things again, because I want to make sure that we get this down. We were talking about loyalty, and we're going to continue to talk about loyalty and how disloyalty affects, is a direct relationship to dishonor. I want to just go over some definitions of loyalty again. Loyalty is the state or the quality of being loyal, faithful, one who is full of faithfulness to a cause or a commitment or an obligation, faithfully committed to a vision. When you're loyal, you're faithfully committed to a vision. See, people who walk in honor, they are faithfully committed to a vision. And one of the things I said last week, I had an opportunity to really walk into it really over the week. As you know, we just came off of a healing and deliverance services, which was a blessing. I had several people I know who were part of that, you know. And I stated last week, I said, whenever your man of God calls a special meeting, a person we were talking kind of more so a person who has an independent spirit, how they only determine to do certain things they think that's important to them. You know, I think the word was they autonomous or something like that, where they feel, even though they are part of an organization, they feel like all the rules and all the regulations don't always apply to them, that they're kind of, you know, walking anonymity. They're there, but they're not there. You know, but when you are hooked up to an organization and you're submitted to a man of God or a woman of God, you're obligated to be loyal, and you form, you're part of an alliance, you know. But anyway, I mean, when the apostle called the meetings, you know, I had a lot of things going on that week. But guess what? Everything had to be put on halt because I knew I needed to be there, and I just got blessed. You know, like Brother Hagin used to say, you know, just bless my socks off. You know, because it was just such a refreshing, the anointing and the praise of God. One of the things, you know, I want to encourage our online students, whenever the apostle is in your area, make every effort you can to drop what you're doing, you know, make the sacrifice to get into those meetings, because they are life changing. Revelation knowledge is flowing from this ministry and from our apostle. Matter of fact, I tell people, the only thing I could compare it to is water flowing over a waterfall. If you ever seen a huge waterfall, several years ago, we were in Yellowstone National Park, and there's what they call Yellowstone Falls. And it's just a huge fall with a massive torrent of water flowing over it. from what I've been told, even though it's not as wide as Niagara Falls, but more water falls over that fall in a 24-hour period, I think 2 and 3 times more than Niagara Falls. You can hear it for half a mile. It's so loud. It's just a roar, you know. And all the side of the canyon, because of the mist, it just grows just lush vegetation because it's a constant mist on all the vegetation in that canyon. But the revelation that's flowing out of the apostle is like a torrent of water just flowing out of a waterfall. You know, just fresh. You know, when water is flowing, it's fresh. It's a purifying agent going in through the rocks and all. But water that's not flowing becomes stagnant. Well, what we're receiving is fresh revelation. And so I just want to encourage each and every person to make absolutely, you know, whatever effort you need to make these meetings. But let me move on with the definition here. Also, we want to talk about, as far as loyalty again, is having or showing a complete constant support for someone or something being loyal to a person, unswavering in alliance. You know, when a person is loyal, there's unswaveringness. There's, you know, you're not going back and forth. But disloyalty will slow you, cause you to kind of waver. You it's almost like you got, you know, going back to that analogy, 1 foot in and 1 foot out. But you want to stay unswavering, you know, solid, you know, feet shod in the ministry and under the anointing that God has called you to. That's so very important. Whenever I teach the new members class, one of the things I tell every new member, I say, you need to get your feet dug deep in the soil of the ministry. Don't just be a shallow water Christian or a shallow soil Christian. Anything that's planted in shallow soil, you know, certain trees don't have a good root system in it. And whenever the wind or hurricane, which we're familiar with hurricanes, come, it'll knock trees that don't have a good root system in there. But if a tree has a good solid root system, it may bend and sway under the storm, but it's going to stand. And you see, you know, as I stated, and I've stated it before, and I'm a person of repetition, you know, in any good ministry where the word is being taught and correction is being done, you're going to get your feelings hurt. And I stated last week, you know, put your feelings in your pocket or leave them in your car, because what you want to do is you want to receive. You see, sometimes my natural dad used to do things at times that would upset me, because he wanted to rattle my cage to get me to do what I'm supposed to do. You know, I'm gonna give you an example, and I think I shared this once before. I was getting ready to go to school one morning. I was probably in the 8th, 9th grade. I might have been in high school, but I had gotten ready, got my clothes on, everything, books was ready, all my work was done. And I still had like 15, 20 minutes left before the bus was gonna come. And so I'm laying in the bed, so I'm gonna lay down and just kind of take it easy. And he runs in the room and sees me. Well, he kind of walks down the hall. Then he came back, and when he came back, he had his belt in his hand and just started, you know, boy, get up. You know, you are a man. You need to be up doing something. You know, I don't want you to be lazy. I want you to, you know, as a man, you get up and you find something to do. You know, once your head get off the pillow, you don't need to be laying down, you know, not early in the morning like this. You know, but guess what? Almost every morning I'm up early. You know, I'm up. If I don't go outside, I'm looking at my car, looking at this, checking that. You know, it rattled my cage. And so the reason why I'm saying that, you know, a true man of God, you know, under a true anointing, sometimes the lessons that you learn or that's being taught, you know, the Bible talks about that. You know, chastening may not seem real comforting initially, but it's for your benefit. You know, so that's why I say you want to leave your feelings in your pocket or leave them in your car and work on continually being loyal. Loyalty is a principal qualification for every minister. We talked about that last week. You know, the Bible says that as a steward, we must be found faithful. Stewards, it's a requirement that every steward be found faithful. And faithful is being faithful to your assignment, being faithful to what God has called you to do. I always tell people, don't put down your assignment. You know, if your pastor or your leader gives you an assignment or puts you, over something or working with somebody, your promotion is in your faithfulness to that assignment to your man of God. I've stated it many, many times. You know, even in the natural, when I say, "Look, Lord, I don't know if I have the time for this." The thought comes back to me: if your man of God trusts you enough to ask you to do such and such, God is going to provide whatever you need to get the job done. You know, whether that's rearranging my work schedule, which he's done time and time again, give me days off that I need to do what I need to do. It's always been done. You know, so I tell people, your promotion, is doing the last thing, is continually to doing the last thing God called you to do and being faithful at it. You know, because like I said, promotion doesn't come from the east. The word says it doesn't come from the west. Promotion comes from the Lord, and as you're faithful, and see, all of this is a part of loyalty. And what that does, that displays honor. You know, God wants us to walk in honor. He wants us to be honorable, and when you're honorable, that means that I like the slogan of the Marines. The Marines say, we're looking for a few good men, men of honor, men of courage, men of, of fortitude that's gonna hold their ground and do their assignment, and are committed to the safety and upholding the Constitution and the Pledge of Allegiance to protect the nation and the people. Well, you see, we need to be loyal, number one, first of all, to God. You know, our loyalty is, he died on the cross for our sins. You know, he gave us the newness of life, and we pledge our allegiance, our alliance to God. But at the same time, God places us under men and women of God, God's delegated authority, which is all under God's government. The Bible talks about how Jesus said that the Bible said that the government is upon Jesus' shoulders, and God operates through delegated authority. If you don't obey and submit to the authority that you're under, you're not going to submit to God. You're not submitting to God, because when I'm asked to do something by somebody who's immediately over me, it may not be the apostle that's given the instructions, but it's coming down from the apostle to who he delegates it to, and then they disseminate that information to me. It's just as though the apostle said it. Just the other day, I got an assignment. I needed to give some information to the person I report to. I knew it wasn't about procrastination. I need to get this done ASAP. Matter of fact, I gave him a call today. Did you get the email? Did you get the information you wanted? Because I wanted to make sure that, I fulfilled it and got what needed to be put in his hand in a timely manner. That's all about loyalty. That's commitment. And what that does, that displays honor. Those little small things that, sometimes we think are just insignificant, that shows honor. When the man of God called the special meeting, every church member should have been there. Bottom line. I thank God for the people who were there, those ones that got blessed, those ones who got delivered, those ones that got healed, those ones who got set free. Why? Because obedience, we talked about that in our earlier lessons. It's better to obey than to sacrifice. But then submission is even better than obedience, because when you submit, obedience, you can be doing it, but your heart may not be in it. We talked about that. You can go through the motions, but when you're totally submitted, your heart and your body is operating together as one. Lord, I'm doing this not just because I've been told to do it, but I'm doing it because I want to do it. My heart is in what I do. You know, when your heart is in what you do, you're going to give it 110% because it's a part of who you are. You know, and that's why David prayed that prayer, Lord, search my heart, know my thoughts, you know, and see if there be any wicked way in me. And Lord, lead me in the way of everlasting. You know, Lord, you've put me over this, all of these people, Lord God. You know, give me an understanding heart so that I would know how to go in and go out. You know, how to rule over your people properly. When you have that much commitment to God and to the ministry God called you to, God, you become valuable to God because now God can trust you with an assignment. One of the most humbling experiences I've had here at the ministry was about a year or so ago. The apostle was going to be out of town, and he called me in the back, and as I was going back towards his office, he turned and he said, Greg, I want you to take it next Sunday. And he said, I'm gonna let brother so-and-so do the altar call and everything. He says, no, he said, you do, just do everything. So you've been with me a long time and I trust you. You know, that those words there, I trust you, almost floored me because I knew what that meant. You know, when you think about a ministry of this magnitude and the apostle that's over this ministry, that God put over this house, and the anointing that he carries, you know, to be able to have him say that I trust you meant more to me than anything. You know, that's why when I come, I can pour out my heart, you know, and no matter what assignment I'm given, I want to do it to my fullest because I know what God is doing here in this ministry is changing the lives of people all over the world. It's setting the captives free, you know, and to be a part of something that's making a difference in people's lives is very humbling. You know, God could have chosen anybody to work and to be a part of this vision. But God has chosen us and he's put us in this vision because as students, you are a part of what God is doing because you're being equipped. You're being trained. You're being, you know, going through a boot camp per se, getting ready. If you're not, some of you are already ministering, but what it's doing is refining your ministry. It's putting, you know, it's polishing it up, you know, taking off things that don't need to be there and putting stuff in there that needs to help fortify it so that you can be a vessel of honor and glory, meet for the master's use. That's what you want. You know, sure, yeah, I did ministry before I was a member here, but it wasn't until I got here till the real refining process, the real you know, nuts and bolts of what it's all about, what sacrifice, the sacrifices that you have to have. But there's no sacrifice that outweighs the blessing that you get. There's no sacrifice that's going to outweigh the blessings, the blessings that come, you know, day after day after year after year, you know. And I'm really going way off track. But, you know, that's what ministry is all about. You know, that's what ministry is all about. And God has some tremendous things in store for each and every student. You know, I know this is March, May, 1st of May, you'll be graduating. About a month and a half or so. Don't let this be the last time that you're connected to this ministry. Don't disconnect. Yeah, don't disconnect because this is only the beginning. Believe me. I know people who sat in these seats who heard the teachings, but they thought, well, I got everything I need. No, you just got enough to really latch on good. You know, hang on because the ride haven't really even started yet. You know, you gotta stay connected. You know, the worst thing you can do is say, look, I got what I need and I'm going off and I'm going to start my own ministry. You know, unless you got, you know, your pastor or your apostle or the person that you're serving, unless they endorse it, you know, you need to just sit, listen, and learn and wait. Because, you know, you want God's blessing. Amen. That's all about being honorable. What I just stated was an honorable statement. When you sit and you wait upon your calling and serve your man of God with faithfulness and loyalty, those are the things that bring honor to you. You know, Elijah and Elijah, that connection. You know, as the Lord liveth and my soul liveth, I'm not leaving my man of God. That's what Elijah said. I'm going to serve Elijah. You know, I'm going to serve him. You know, and because of his faithfulness and his loyalty to his prophet, when the prophet goes up in a whirlwind, Elijah gets a double portion. Why? Because he served faithfully. You know, he didn't serve in dishonor. He didn't have an independent spirit. You know, he didn't walk in offense. You know, he wasn't passive, but he was one who poured water on the prophet's hand. You know, he was there, you know, through thick and thin. That's what it takes. You know, people want the anointing of God on their lives, but they do not want to pay the price of what it takes to get the anointing of God to come upon their lives. You know, there is a price to pay. You know, I've watched the apostle when I first joined the ministry, he would travel with Brother Hagin, and that encouraged me to want to go to the meetings. You know, I would pitch pennies, whatever I needed to do, and I would try. I didn't make them all. I made a few of them, but I made enough to see and to watch. You know, he was an example for me even 22, 23 years ago. You know, when he went up and was sold $20,000, I said, Lord, one day I'm going to be able to do it. And praise God, I've done it. Not once, but not twice, but several times. Why? Because I had an example that I could follow. You know, that's what it's all about. You know, loyalty. And you see, that brings honor. You see, when you serve in someone who is honorable, it's gonna put honor in you because you're seeing where you're going. And it's gotta be sown, you gotta see it in your heart before it's displayed physically. That's loyalty. You know, being loyal, being faithful, you know, and that produces honor, you know. And you see, God sees that. And that's where promotion comes from. Because what you're doing now is you're displaying, you know, the works of Christ. Jesus was the most honorable person. Jesus walked in humility. And we talked about this, you know, several weeks, probably last year, about, you know, in Philippians, how he made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant, you know, and came down in this earth in the likeness of, as a man, you know, but he stooped even further by going to the cross and dying on the cross for our sins. And the Bible says, because of his faithfulness to his Father, he said, Lord, if there's any other way that this cup could pass, nevertheless, not my will. You see, when you start to, you know, take up your cross, or, you know, when I say your cross, taking up what God's called you to do, you know, your assignment, and fulfill your assignment. And you see, the thing about it is, a lot of times people, want to be seen of men like the Pharisees. They want notoriety. But, you know, it's not about that. David, he was a shepherd in the field. He was tending to the sheep. Nobody saw David, you know, but the Lord saw him. The Lord saw him faithfully tending the sheep. And so now when the prophet was looking for a new king, the Lord told him to go to Jesse's house. And Jesse brought all his goodly sons, you know, this one. And when the prophet looked, no, that's not, he's not the man. No, that's not him. And you know, and then you know, it's kind of like, well, these are my choice, son. He said, do you have any more? You got one little shepherd boy. He out in the field. Well, go get him. I'm not going to sit down until I anoint somebody to be king. And the minute David walked in, it was, hey, that's the man, you know. But what happened was, it's what I call a Moses experience. Moses went on the backside of the mountain. Nobody saw him. After Moses left out of Egypt, nobody, I mean, he was kind of gone and forgot. But it was during that backside of the mountain experience when nobody saw him, but now he sees the burning bush. God is beginning to communicate to him and to talk to him and put things in him and building character and fortitude and commitment and loyalty in him. You know, those are those experiences that nobody sees when it's just you and God. When you're just obeying God and just doing what God has called you to do, however small it might seem, those are the things that's building character, that's developing loyalty, that's going to bring you into honor. Those small things, the things that you know, sometimes we say, Lord, I'm just, you know, sometimes you say, I'm tired. But, you know, and physically sometimes you do get tired. But the Bible says, God says, I'm going to renew your strength. You know, you're going to mount up with wings as eagles, because what it's doing is building that character on the inside. There was a chart. It was called the Pyramid of Success. Well, it is called a Pyramid of Success. And at the very top of that pyramid was the word character, you know. And it talked about character. Be more concerned about your character than your reputation, because your character is well, first of all, your reputation is what people think you are or think who you are, but your character is who you really are, you know. Building character, you know, that's what it's all about. You know, you want your character. You want to be a person of character, of impeccable character, you know. And by doing those things, loyalty is developed, you know, honor is released, and God's blessings can be released upon your life. Those are the things that make a difference, that change, you know, hey, it's, you know, you can't get around service. You can't get around. You got to serve, you know. Those who are greatest in the kingdom of God are those who serve. Humbly serving. Believe it, I'm just telling you what I've experienced over the last 20-some years. When you serve, and you serve faithfully, that speaks volumes. By you know, I always use the expression, you know, God doesn't want us to be bench warmers. You know, in a game, you need to get in the game. Now, I've said this several times. I'll never forget this one game. I used to play basketball in high school, and this one little guy's name was Ernie. I think either Ernie or Bernie, because he was a twin. But anyway, he always would sit on the end of the bench, and he was our best cheerleader. He was cheering us on and laughing and, you know, just, you know, having a good time, you know. And he was a little short guy, so he was a guard. And our starting guard had fouled out, and the other guard had like four fouls, and they didn't want him to foul out, so they pulled him out. So the only other person left to fill that guard spot was, I think it was Bernie. Yeah, Bernie. And so the coach said, Bernie, come here. And when the coach said it, he looked away, he said, no, Bernie, over here. And Bernie looked, he said, who, me? And he said, yeah, come here. And Bernie, come here. And he came, but I guess the reason why I share this, because it stuck in my heart. You know, he never thought that he would ever get in the game, you know, but all of a sudden now he's in the game and he actually contributed. But the thing about it is, you don't want to be a spectator in the things of God. You want to be a participator. You want to be in, Lord, I you know, one of the main ways you can be a participator is going out and being a witness, you know, sharing Christ. You know, we all are ministers. You know, we're ambassadors for Christ. When you just go out and just share the gospel every day on your job, at the supermarket, you're being a witness. You know, I know this one guy, every time we go to a restaurant, he's going to witness to the waiter. He's going to ask the waiter, do you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? It's without fail every time, you know. But he's constantly seeing people come into the kingdom. You know, the Bible says that he that winneth souls is wise, you know. And you see, God sees your heart. And you see, those are the things, I believe, those little small things that make a difference. Kind of give me, you know, let me know what my time is, because sometimes I get to going and I know time is important, but sometimes me and time don't always agree. But anyway, just let me know where I'm at. When I get to 5 minutes, let me know. All right, let me move on. I've already lost my lesson that I wanted to share, but that's not a problem. Amen. The last scripture that I shared on the notes was coming from 1 Corinthians 4:1-2. It says, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ, as stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it was required of a steward that he be found faithful. I want to read the Amplified version of that. The Amplified Bible says, so then let us apostles be looked upon as ministering servants. And that word servant is kind of like what I was, you know, people look at, the fivefold ministry gifts, and sometimes you can stand in awe of the ministry gifts, but they're servants. You know, the greatest in the kingdom of God is the person that serves. He says, moreover, let me start from the beginning. So then let us apostles be looked upon as ministering servants of Christ and stewards or trustees of the mysteries or the secret purposes of God. Moreover, it is essential required of stewards that a man should be found faithful, proving himself worthy of trust. You know, that spells loyalty all over it. Worthy of trust. Any person that operates in disloyalty is in the beginning stages of walking in the spirit of dishonor. And if not turned or corrected, that person will basically bring dishonor to themselves and will disqualify themselves. And they will not be found as a faithful student, a faithful steward of Christ. A disloyal person will breed strife, hatred, murmuring. These disloyal sentiments are like smoke. We talked about this last week, that fills a house. And we said that the only way to get rid of the smoke is to put out the fire, you know. And kind of what I said earlier, you know, you don't want the sun to go down on your wrath. You know, you gotta nip it in the bud. When offense or when something rub you the wrong way, you need to get it right, because it'll off end the process of what God is doing in your life. I've seen countless people in ministry, good, anointed, blessed men and women of God, but they let offense off in them. And a lot of times I'll see people who were part of the ministry here at Word of Life. I'll see them in other places, you know, and I always have to ask them, you know, since you've left, are you doing any ministry? 95 to 96% of the people tell me, no, I'm not ministering anymore. And that hurts me, because I know they sat in the class, the charter class, with me. I know that they were anointed. I know God had a call of God on their lives, you know. But when you let little things off in you and off in the process, or you do something that's dishonorable, there's consequences. You know, I always use the statement, the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. You know, if God has a call on your life, you know, that's, you know, you can't repent for not doing what God called you to do. I'm reminded of a statement that Kenneth Hagin said, And one of my ministers a couple of weeks ago, about a month ago at in prison ministry, made this statement. And it rung a bell again. You know, the bell rung the first time I heard it, but it, the, you know, it resounded. Some men and women live and die and never reach the first phase of their ministry that God called them to do. What I mean by that is they never complete the assignment. They never fulfill the plan and the purpose of God. They may start out, you know, some people start out as tortoises. They run in swiftly, you know, but the race is not always for the swift. It's for those who steadily, you know. You might be slow. You might be that turtle, you know, barely, you know, just, you know, but being consistently steady at what God called you to do. You know, I always like the expression, despise not small beginnings. You know, though your beginning may be small, your latter end will greatly increase. But stay consistent. You know, when you finish this school, you know, stay steady. You know, don't disconnect, as we stated earlier, because, you know, stay connected to your apostolic source. Because believe me, a lot of times you say, well, I'm doing a lot of things, but because of the connection, the sap that's flowing in the vine is reaching the branches. But the minute you disconnect a branch or you break a branch off a tree, the leaves may still look nice and pretty, but from the moment you break that branch and disconnect it from the tree, those leaves have lost the connection to the sap that keeps them flourishing and keeps them pretty and green. By the next day, those leaves will be withered. You know, and a lot of times you can be connected to an anointed ministry, and you can go off and start doing something and disconnect and go a while off the residue of the anointing that's on you. But when you don't come back to get refilled, to get refurbished, to get more and more impartation, you're gonna get weary and before you know it, you got to do gimmicks and schemes to get people to come and hear you because there's no anointing there anymore. That's what happened to a lot of people. I've seen it. I know it. You know, but when you stay connected, you always got something fresh because you always hearing something fresh. You know, and it revitalizes you. You know, your blood cells, they replenish themselves. You know. After 7 years or so, every blood cell, it replenishes. Well, you see, spiritually, you got to continue to be replenished. You got to, when a glass is full of water and you pour it out because you're pouring out of yourself, you need now to be refilled. You know, it's always a constant refilling, refresh, you know, going for another portion or a double portion, you know, to stay, you know, in other words, staying full. When you pour out, you got to go and you got to receive. And that's the purposes of the supernatural money come to you conferences. That's the purposes of the camp meetings and the prosperity revivals. You know, the healing and deliverance meetings. It constantly refreshes you, because it's one of the things I had to recognize years ago. Sometimes you say, you know, it's a lot, and Lord, I don't know if I'm getting all of this. But what's happening is a residue of the anointing is flowing down when you're under an apostolic anointing. And when you're in the presence of an apostolic anointing, you know, a tangible residue is flowing down. And when your antennas is open to receive that frequency, you're God is doing things in your life that you won't even recognize to maybe years later, you know. And you say, you know, sometimes I can't absorb it all. But you're picking up more than what you think you're picking up, because it's getting down in your spirit, okay? And that anointing is getting on you. And so now when you start to operate and function in your gift and your calling, guess what's going to happen? It's going to resurface because it's in there. What's ever in your heart in abundance, it's going to come out. there's times I don't know what I'm going to say when I'm ministering in the prisons or whatever, but I just rely on the Holy Spirit, because you have an unction from the Holy One. And anything that you've learned, anything that was imparted into you, when you yield to God, it flows out of you like water. And sometimes, you know, the Bible says that even when we didn't really get into this particular portion, but how Saul was changed into another man. Why? Because of the favor of God that came upon his life. You see, when the favor of God is upon your life, you would literally turn into another man or another woman, because it's no longer you, but it's Christ on the inside of you coming out. You're now a yielded vessel, meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. And all of a sudden now, scriptures and things you heard years ago just start pouring out of you like water. Why is that? Because you connected and you've been faithful and God can trust you. And so now, you know, you see, people that are disloyal and untrustworthy, God cannot trust them with his anointing, because, you can be dangerous. You're like a kid with a M16 if you don't know how to be trusted with the anointing. You can cause all kind of hurt and put people in all kind of bondage if you don't know. Thank you, sir. 5 minutes. And that's why this spirit of honor is so very important, because a father always wants their children to exceed what they have done. You know, I wanted my daughter to experience things and to go into levels that I never went as a man, as far as economic freedom and you know, a better start on life. My son, I want him to, you know, to experience and to grow and to take off where I left off and to take it to another level. You know, spiritually, your spiritual father wants you to go higher dimensions in the things of God than he ever did. And that's why he constantly pours out his heart day after day after day, because he wants you so much for you to get it. He wants you to be able to, you know, Jesus told his disciples, and the works that I do, you will do greater works than these, because I go to my Father. Because why? He sent the Comforter now, you know, and those who stayed committed, you know, we know Judas, he was disloyal, he walked in dishonor, and he betrayed Christ, you know, but just those 12, because they ended up getting another one, because it was prophesied that it would be 12, and they all had a part and a lot in that ministry. But those 12 men, the Bible says, turn the world upside down. They went and they preached Christ. And he told them, he said, don't leave Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. You know, I didn't really state a lot about this semester, but if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, last year, I think it was one or two students online who got filled over the phone, you know, after they emailed me and told me that they weren't filled. I remember this one guy who was in New York, he got filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm here in Baton Rouge and talking to him over the phone and over the internet, sharing scriptures with him, and he got filled. You need, because that's the difference, is the anointing, is knowing how to stir it up by praying in other tongues, building up your most holy faith. You know, without the anointing of God on your life, you are nothing. You need the anointing. Amen. All right, I'm done. I didn't pretty much didn't even touch on it, but you know, sometimes it happens that way. You just flow with the Holy Spirit and let him use you, because that's what it's all about. You know, yielding to the Spirit of God. When you yield, God shows up, because you're giving him an opportunity to display himself through you. You guys be blessed, and you probably get maybe one or two questions, because I don't even know what I said. So normally I have them written down, but I'll try to have maybe one or two questions, and you know, just do the best you can. Amen. All right. God bless.